for the alpha, do you want to give us the exercise?
Well, the exercise was to look into the words that our beloved John has to say, because his concern was for love. God is love, and also the love that we have one for another through him, through Christ Jesus. And so there's not much for me to say here except what the Word says, and I think as we look into it, as the Spirit will lead, we'll find out some wonderful truths and things that we can hold on to for that day until which we come into his presence. So let us be encouraged in the Word and read it and allow the Spirit to lead us in our meeting here today.
I'd like to mention there are three reasons why John has written. One is that your joy may be full. That's the first reason. That's in chapter 1, verse 4. The second reason this epistle is written, that you sin not. That's in chapter 2, verse 1, which is really part of chapter 1. That you sin not. And the third reason this epistle is written, that you may know you have eternal life. And that's in John 5, verse 13. So those are the three overriding reasons that the epistle of John was written. That your joy may be full. That you sin not. And that you know you have eternal life. That's the whole book of 1 John. The overriding thesis of the book.
The exercise is really to look at the three aspects that are mentioned in the outline. And that is, as already was mentioned, the fact of what we have in John's writing is the idea of manifestation. The manifestation of eternal life, the manifestation of the Son of God, and the manifestation of the children of God, which we would take in the second and the third reading. The purpose of the first reading concerning the verses we have read is really to speak about the manifestation of eternal life. And this matter is very relevant to the day where we live. It's very relevant to the day, to the last hours of the testimony. If you notice that the Apostle Paul writes concerning the last days, when we come to John's writing, he speaks of the last hour. And dear saints of God, I'm sure we all realize that we are living in the very few last seconds of this last hour. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And the enemy in his tactic is trying to attach the people of God to the world, to its affair, to this life, and everything that is attached and connected with it. Yet John comes in the very end, and he writes, the Son of Thunder. He writes, takes us to that which was from the beginning. Takes us and attaches us, or afresh again, direct our eyes to a life that was not known on this earth before. The very life of the Father, the very life of the Son, eternal life, that which was with the Father. The Lord Jesus, who is eternal life, had come into the scene to manifest this life. And to really realize for us the privileges that we have as Christians. It is not just the idea that we are saved and going to heaven. Thank God for that. But we have received life, and we are translated from death into life. And these are things that we need to highlight in our discussion today. John's ministry is very important for the last days, as I have said. When the Lord Jesus called John and his brother James, they were mending the net. And as you see, the net, if the net speaks of Christianity, there's a lot of big holes in there. We're not catching fishes anymore. We are so occupied with everything else. And the purpose of John's ministry is to mend that net, that we might realize what we have in the Lord Jesus. Just a brief word quickly on eternal life. You realize there are many young ones around us here. When we usually speak of eternal life or everlasting life, it's connected with our in our mind with the idea of the duration of life. It is a life that is never end. Well, that is absolutely true. But that's not really eternal life. Eternal life does not mean eternal existence. Because angels do not die. Spirits do not die. The unbelievers are not going to be alive for eternity, but they will exist. So we need to keep in mind that eternal life does not only mean eternal existence or living forever. It means that, but not only that. Eternal life is a quality of life. It's not the duration of life, it's the quality of life. It is the life of God Himself that is existed in eternity before time and space. When scientists talking about, is there a life someplace else in the universe? And they are sending spaceship to find out, and they are listening to any communication that comes out of the space. Well, get a Bible. First John is still telling you that there was a life. And you don't have to try to put a headphone on to listen to some communication. It was communicated to us. Not only it was communicated, we have witnesses who have seen it, who have handled it, who have heard it. Life was communicated to us in the person of the Lord Jesus, who is the true God and eternal life. So we need to follow orderly the scripture that was read. We need to talk about the eternal life, what that means to us, and how the Lord Jesus, in the greatness of His person as the eternal Son, manifested eternal life when He came here in the sea.
Another introductory remark. First John assumes that you know John's gospel, that you're familiar with the gospel of John, because in the gospel of John there are many verses that we have eternal life, present possession. But you don't have it in yourself, you have it in Christ. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, not in Bob Costa. I have it in Christ. He is the eternal life. I have it in Him. Also, this book was written because of Gnosticism coming in, as if Jesus was one and Christ was another. To deal with that, they were not from us, they're not of us. So this is set things straight in the Epistle of John. And the beginning in verse 1 means the beginning of Christianity, or the beginning of the Lord's ministry upon earth. See, when you have beginning in John 1, before there ever was a beginning, the Word was. But here is the beginning of Christianity, the beginning of the Lord's life upon earth. You're down here. This is what this beginning means.
The writing of John's epistle is very peculiar. We've been reminded that his message is a message for the closing moment. That John's writings are the last writings to be recorded. They follow the Apostle Paul's writings. So John is writing at a time, as we've been reminded, of real great danger. Danger to the testimony. And it is similar to the time that we are in, as it was just emphasized. So it is important to have someone to counteract the condition of things that are existing. And so John introduces us and reminds us of that someone. He says, that which was from the beginning. It's wonderful to have our attention drawn to this blessed person in whom is the manifestation of eternal life. He is that alone which will counteract the condition of things. Bob, you mentioned about Gnosticism, which was the prevailing thing at the time, where men were placing the Lord Jesus, as it were, on the same level with other men as being one of the means, the medians to God. And John says, we've got to set this right. There is but one man between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So it was necessary, and is always necessary when there is departure, to have our hearts drawn back to that which was from the beginning. And you're pointing out that the beginning here is really the beginning of Christianity.